Jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I am live. I'm in Southern California. What's going on? Great to have you here. Go ahead, Alvy.
Give it to me.
It's going to be a great show and a great weekend. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know this. Yeah. All right, let me tell you about the program. I'm fired up. Especially about the first half. Coming up next segment, a defensive tackle for the 49ers, DeForest Buckner. That's in about 15 minutes. Top of hour number two, making his jungle debut, a four-time major winner on the PGA Tour, Brooks Koepka. Top of hour two. We're fired up about that. Also in hour number two, Jim Trotter, NFL media reporter and tremendous storyteller. We are front-loading all three interviews in the first half of the program. Meantime, if you want to jump in, do it. 1-800-636-8686. It is toll-free. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Once again, DeForest Buckner coming up next segment. Brooks Koepka, top of hour two. Jim Trotter right after that. Got a podcast episode that I want to promote. Randy Couture, Ep 99. That's a great one. And then Ep 100 next week. Let me start with some baseball. As the kids like to say, Gerrit Cole. That's it. Gerrit Cole. That's it. There is your take. There is nothing else to say when it comes to this guy. Nothing else to talk about when it comes to last night's Game 5 of the ALDS between Tampa Bay and Houston. Gerrit Cole. That's it. And because of Gerrit Cole, we now have the series that everybody wanted and the series everybody expected, Astros v. Yankees. However, it sure as hell did not turn out the way we had hoped and the way we got there. Not after Houston took a 2-0 series lead, and then Tampa Bay battled back to win games 3 and 4. That meant that Houston's 107-win regular season was on the verge of looking like LA's 106-win regular season. Except for one thing. Houston was going back home, and Houston had Gerrit Cole on the mound. And Gerrit Cole is a beast. This guy's a monster. If you have been sleeping on this guy because he started his career in Pittsburgh or because he's behind Justin Verlander in the rotation or for any reason at all, now would be a great time to stop. As one MLB front office official told 538 before that game, quote, "He's essentially throwing laser beams or as close to it as I've ever seen from a human," end quote. I'd agree with that. I need some evidence, though, that this dude is in fact human. I think the Rays need some evidence that this guy's in fact human. Listen to Rays manager Kevin Cash.
The frustrating part is that Gerrit Cole's on the mound on the other side, and the run he's been on is second to none, so that presents its own challenges.
The run that he's on is second to none, which I'll get to in a minute. But if you need more, how about shortstop Willy Adames?
I don't know if anybody can get better than that. You know, he was an unbelievable last start, and today he was still the same. It was like we just couldn't make an adjustment, and you know, that's why he's one of the best pitchers in the league. You know, he was really tough tonight.
Well said, because that was a masterclass in pitching a must-win game. Filthy, nasty, overpowering, unhittable, inhuman. There really aren't words to describe a performance like that. The guy was amazing. He started with a couple of strikeouts, a walk, and a ground out in the first inning. Then the Astros' bats went to work. Two singles meant Jose Altuve was up with runners on the corners.
0-1. Fastball, and that's lined into right center field, and that's going to get down for a base hit. Springer scores. Brantley on his way to third. An RBI single for Altuve. His fourth run batted into the series.
Astros radio. You know me, I don't play favorites. Altuve is one of my favorites. I don't play favorites. Alex Bregman might be my all-time favorite.
Breaking ball, and that's lined toward right center field, and that's headed for the gap and is going to the wall. Brantley scores. Altuve tearing around third. Altuve will score. Two-run double for Bregman.
Least surprising start ever, especially when the guy they're going up against is tipping his pitches. By the end of the first, it was 4-0 Astros, and yet Tampa was not going anywhere. Eric Sogard led off the top of the second with a bomb.
There one as we go to the second. And the first pitch driven in the air to deep right by Sogard. Back to the wall. And there's one right back. A solo homer for Eric Sogard on the first pitch of the inning. And the Astros lead is now 4-1.
Rays Radio. And that is one right back. And all of a sudden, we've got ourselves a ball game. No, we don't. Not when Gerrit Cole is on the mound, launching laser beams. 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, 2 hits, 1 run. All right, so that's one game, right? You want a larger sample size? How about this? 1 run in 15 2/3 innings, 25 strikeouts in the series. You need more? A bigger sample size? The guy struck out 10 or more in 11 straight starts. You want a larger sample size? 18-0 with 251 strikeouts and an ERA barely over 1.6. That's what Cole has done since May 22nd. And if you need perspective there, May 22nd was an off day between games 4 and 5 of the Raptors-Bucks conference finals. A basketball season ended and is now starting again in the time that Cole has been unbeaten. It's amazing. And a lot has changed since May 22nd, but one thing that hasn't is Gerrit Cole. Actually, he might have changed. He might have gotten better. Well, he did come up short in one regard. He came up short when he got the Rays to ground out and hit a couple of fly balls in the third. Unfortunately, that snapped a streak of 73 straight innings with a strikeout. In the expansion era, the next best streak is 40 innings by some dude named Pedro Martinez. And yet, that was still a game. Because after the first inning, that conveyor belt of Rays pitchers were not giving up anything. It was 4-1, and it felt damn near like a replay of the Nats and the Dodgers last night. You know, that one team that wouldn't die, that one team was still hanging around. That's the Rays. They were hanging around. They would not go away until Michael Brantley ended all of that in the bottom of the eighth.
And that is line deep to right field. Garcia racing back, looking up. See you later! Michael Brantley goes yard, and the Astros go up 5-1.
It's been said, but not enough. Brantley is such a pro. Pro's pro. He ended it right there. And if he didn't, then the next batter, Jose freaking Altuve, did.
Pagan delivers. And that's driven deep to left center field. Racing back, Kiermaier looking up. See you later! See you later! Back-to-back jacks. First Brantley, now Altuve. It's 6-1 Astros.
Shut it down. Let's go home. Time to shut it down in the ninth and start the freaking party. Go ahead, start that party.
Big-time performances by big-time players today. Unbelievable job. Congratulations, ALDS champions. The best part, the moment's never too big for this team. And everybody's got to come through our house to get to the World Series.
This dude's looking to act like they've been there before. H.A. Hinch is so right. The moment's never too big for those guys. And their stars do play like stars when they have to. So now we're right back to where we started. Right back to where we knew we'd end up. Yankees v. Astros. And if you think Houston is going to roll right through that series on the back of Verlander and Cole, I suggest you think again. Yes, Houston won 107 games. New York won 103 games. Not exactly a huge fall off. And the Yankees did it with a ton of injuries. And the Yankees are well-rested. And the Yankees can mash. And the Yankees have that nasty bullpen. And against Minnesota, they found ways to win with pitching and defense. But it's not like the Astros aren't good. It's not like the Astros didn't benefit from that series against Tampa. Yes, the rotation might not be lining up exactly the way they wanted it to. But Cole says it probably is not going to matter.
We were tested and we responded well. We had to get hit in the face twice, so... I like the way that we answered the bell, and looking forward to the next series.
That's a SoCal right there. That is a SoCal native right there. 8-2 haymakers, and they still landed the knockout blow. Now we get the fight that everybody knew was coming, the fight that everybody wanted. Man, give each other the hands. And you know what? Go ahead and do it for 6 or 7 games. It's going to be great. Let's get it on. 1-800-636-8686. Who you got? Who you like? Houston, New York, Yankees, Astros. We knew we were going to get it, and here it is. All right, some other things I want to talk about. Pats, Giants. It was a game for a while. That was a game for a while. What do you make of the Pats? They are undefeated. They look great defensively. They're not doing so great offensively. Or are they still the team to beat? Do they have some issues? Or is this not what we see every single year from New England? They start slowly. They get it going. They end up finishing. We'll talk about whether or not this year is different. I think offensively there are some concerns. Then again, what do we know about the Pats? The Pats are done when TB12 and the Hood say they're done. 1-800-636-8686. It's Friday. We can have a little fun. You know what's fun? Going out on a bender with one of your boys. Staying out late. Coming home. Finding the wrong house to go into. Not being able to get in the front door. Trying to squeeze through a doggy door. Getting kicked in the face by the owner of that house. And then blasted with a taser as your boy pulls you out the doggy door. That's a night. That's a bender. I have that story for you, obviously. I do want to send you into the weekend with a preview of Randy Couture. He is EP99 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Had a sit down with him earlier and it was great. You've often heard me talk about being 818 for life. 818 for life. I was born on the west side. We moved to the valley.
818 for life.
And I went to middle school and high school in the 818, the San Fernando Valley. 818 for life. I no longer live in the 818, but I am 818 for life. I'm about all things 818. So when something relating to sports in the 818 happens, I'll interrupt that thought. Look who's here. I'll give you a hint. He's got a gigantic head, and he's a gambling degenerate. James Kelly in the house.
That's right.
Ice. Friday's always better when the big head's here.
Okay,
love
man,
James
let's
Kelly.
Turn and burn.
Pierce College. Extremely well-respected community college. In the 818. They made national news with their football coach. Coach Slumlord. This is going to hurt them a lot more than it hurts me. In fact, it's not going to hurt me at all. Although I am 818 for life. I hate to see something like that. I hate to see 30 players living in a three-bedroom condo. That story's coming up. This email reads, Dear Jim, we are so very happy that we won the game last night to make it to the league championship. And clearly Garrett was our MVP. Our team has many great arms, but no one's ball has as much movement as Garrett's. He produces strike after strike, and it's only a matter of time until he has a perfect game. Sincerely, Ritz teammates on his Thursday night octogenarian bowling league team. Ward Garrett rolling a season-high 114 last night, which is still an impressive score, even with lane bumpers.
It's lit.
Sign Pinlesks, wrist support salesman. Denlesks, I haven't seen you in a long time, brah. Welcome back. This one says, Dear Canada, regarding Canadian Thanksgiving this Monday, please let us know if you need any help with the stuffing. Thanks. Steve Garvey and the Rams theme song. Mitch from Buffalo wore this email being all gravy, baby. Hey, Mitch, warn me not understanding any part of that email. Dear Jim, I think the nickname of Danny Dimes is phenomenal. Signed, The Helmet Scuffer.
Hey, Jim. Hey, man. They call me the Helmet Scuffer.
Oh, I can't wait to find out why. Why?
Well, hey, the ladies have been calling me that because my helmet's been dragging on the pavement since I was 13.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
You know that whole thing about how that's not a good call? I don't like that call? That's the worst call. I hate that call. That's the worst call I think I've ever gotten on this show. Brian and Charlotte. More me and Rome having a Heineken together at the Breeders' Cup. Yo, Brian, we would. Except, you know what? I'm not going to make it this year. I'm doing the NFL on today, or the NFL today on CBS, I should say, that weekend. So I will not be at the Breeders' Cup this week or this year, unfortunately. And even if I were, you and I would not be having a Heineken. Not after that email. Here he comes again. James Kelly back in the house. What's up, kid?
We're going ballistic, it's been a while. Go get him.
Romy, did Ike run down Brooks Koepka? Dude can book. Did he tell Brooks if he comes on the show, he would give him a whole quarter? Signed, Geoff and Lincoln. War Hawk mashing up Ike's Skittles and feeding them to him. No. Ike books the podcast. Expertly so. Hawk does not mash up Ike's Skittles. He eats them whole. I don't want to jinx it. We've never had Brooks on. But he is scheduled for the top of the hour. When we come back, DeForest Buckner. About time that guy gets some national run. The kind of run he deserves. The kind of run he's going to get on this show. He's a great player. All right, so what do you want when you're craving protein or you need some more energy? I will tell you what you do not want. You don't want a bar. You do not want a sugary snack. You do not want an energy drink. What you want is beef, pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. It's not shriveled. It's not dry. It's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak, plus quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender, it's tasty, and it's not tough. So why is it so good? Because of the family behind it. Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for its relentless commitment to quality. What I'm saying to you is they take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four great flavors. Take it to the game, take it to the gym, take it to the beach, wherever you go. Just make sure you look for it in the Clearview bag. This way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for Old Trapper in major retail stores. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Great to be with you on this Friday. I'm Jim Rome. Telephone number is toll-free. You know this. In the U.S. and in Canada, really quickly, 1-800-636-8686. Those telephone calls coming up. But as promised, we are joined right now by a defensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers. He is a Pro Bowler. He had five tackles, a sack, a pass defensed, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery in Monday night's big win over Cleveland. For the season, 18 tackles, three sacks, two forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery. He had 12 sacks last season. He is a Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year from Oregon. The Niners are 4-0 this season, and they are in first in the NFC West. They are at the Rams on Sunday. We are joined by DeForest Buckner. DeForest, good to have you on. How are you?
Oh, thank you for having me, Jim. I'm doing great.
Good, man.
You got me ready to lift the weight room with your intro song, man.
Dude, let me tell you something. I got the right music for you. You got the right resume for us. It's good. It's good to have you. All right, so I know you're focused on the Rams, but take me back to Monday night. National TV, primetime, Cleveland in your house. What was the mood heading into that game, and how good did it feel to come out and dominate the way that you guys did?
Yeah, you know, we came into the week, you know, just ready to go. We knew they had a lot of talent on the offensive side and the defensive side, and we knew our capabilities, and we knew it was a big stage. It was Monday night. It was our time to show everybody, you know, nationally, really, just to show them what we can do and what the 2019 49ers are all about.
You know, it seems like maybe you guys knew, but for a lot of people outside, that might have been a coming out party. In fact, from the outside, it felt like a statement win against a team with a lot of hype. Did that feel like a statement win to you?
Yeah. Most definitely. You know, they obviously had a lot of hype, and everybody, you know, counts us out in almost every game. And, you know, we try not to focus on that kind of stuff, and we just focus on ourselves each and every day. And, like I said, we know what we can do, and we just wanted to show it, you know, to everybody else.
DeForest Buckner is joining us. Now, that defense that you play with is so fast. It's so tough. It's fierce. How would you describe the attitude and the identity of that unit?
Yeah, really. We just like to play kind of punch you in the mouth kind of defense. You know, we got guys swarming to the ball. Obviously, you can see when you know, like you said, it's a fast defense. You know, we preach every day on running to the ball and attacking the ball. You know, last year, obviously, we had a record low in turnovers and, you know, especially in interceptions too. And, you know, this year we wanted to come. We built this defense. They invested a lot in this defense on all around. And, you know, you can see the guys taking it, you know, to heart and really trying to make a fast and physical defense that we've been missing the past couple of years here at the Niners.
Niners defensive lineman DeForest Buckner is joining us. You know, the numbers overall might not have been great last year, but individually you had a monster season, 67 tackles, 12 sacks, 17 tackles for a loss, 20 quarterback hits. Did that feel like a breakthrough for you? And if so, what kind of expectations did you put on yourself for this year?
Yeah, most definitely. Last year was definitely a breakout season for me, even though my team didn't do as well. But, you know, it was really my whole thing last year was finding that extra step and finishing, you know, when I get to the quarterback. And I finally did, and I ended up with 12 sacks. And I knew my capabilities. I knew I would be able to get double-digit sacks. And I put that on myself. And this year, really coming in, you know, having new additions, especially on the D-line, having guys come off the edge and, you know, having the whole D-line work together, as you saw Monday night, you know, it's definitely been, I would say, beneficial for me. And not completely yet, because I'm still getting a lot of double teams. And, you know, those guys are obviously coming off the edge and getting a lot of benefit from me getting doubles. I'm freeing up some guys. And really, just this year, I'm just taking it one game at a time, you know, doing what I can do to help my team win.
DeForest Buckner joining us. I'm glad you mentioned the double teams. I was going to ask you about that. Because you are getting doubled so much, I know you've spent a lot of time watching guys like Aaron Donald, my guy, Calais Campbell. What kind of things have you learned from watching them?
Yeah, it's really just, you know, hand placement and things like that when they're getting doubled. You know, obviously Aaron Donald is one of the best in the game, and if not the best in the game right now. And, you know, he's obviously getting a lot more double teams than he did last year. But, you know, when he does get doubled, you know, he still tries to find a way to win and get pressure on the quarterback. And I'm just trying to find, you know, little things that he does with hand placement and things like that on, you know, when he's trying to split those double teams.
Listen, I understand that you're about the team. You're going to be about the team first and about the bottom line. But I'm looking at your numbers, and I'm looking about what you mean to that team. It seems to me you don't always get the level of national recognition that you might deserve. Your teammates and coaches know this. They seem bothered by this, that you were left off the top 100 players list because they want you to get the respect that you have earned. Does it bother you, and do you get a little extra motivation or fuel from it?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I try not to pay attention to that kind of stuff, but yeah, you know, like any other guy, any other ball player that, you know, plays really well and deserves recognition. I mean, it, you know, it gets under my skin a little bit, you know, like I always preach is a respect thing, you know, and, you know, I make sure every opportunity that I get to play on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays, whatever it is, to show everyone what I can do and my abilities.
DeForest Buckner is my guest. I would even say it's not just Sunday or Thursday or Monday. It's every day of the week. And I say that because Kyle Shanahan talks about how hard you go in practice. And the fact that he actually made the point that you go as hard as anybody he's ever been around in practice. One of the things you've talked about personally is the fact that you are motivated to be the best. So where does the motivation come from? Is it from an outside source, or is it purely internal?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It's purely internal. Everything I do, I want to be the best at. And I always, you know, if I'm doing something that I love, I want to do it to the best of my abilities, and I know I can do it really well, you know, and at a high level. And so I hold myself to that standard every day. And, you know, if you're not working hard in practice, then you're not going to benefit from anything in the game. And, you know, how you practice, how you play, and that's how I always live my life and how I was taught. And, I mean, that's why I approach the game, you know, at a high level every single day.
All right, so if you hold yourself to that standard, then if you start to make the kind of plays that you're making, you can start to hold those around you to a similar standard. As an example, when you first came in, you led by example, but now your teammates are talking about how you're becoming more and more vocal and that they do listen. Do you take that responsibility as a leader seriously? I would imagine so. And then how much do you appreciate that new responsibility?
Yeah, I definitely take it seriously, you know. I didn't understand it at first when, you know, I was kind of reserved and really just led by example. But, you know, growing over the past couple of years and becoming more vocal, I see the type of power that, you know, what I say, you know, my teammates really, really take in, you know. And, you know, I obviously got to know how to approach each and every single guy differently because everybody, you know, responds to, you know, criticism or anything differently. You know what I mean? And everybody's different. And so, I definitely take that to, you know, really serious. And, I'm just honored, to be honest, to have that type of respect amongst my teammates.
Niner DeForest Buckner joins me for another moment. Listen, speaking of teammates, there's a story from a little while back that Richard Sherman was talking to you about your dog, which is a Cavalier Poodle. Sherm thinks a big guy like you should have a big dog. How big is this dog, and what does he not understand about this?
Yeah, my dog Kimo, he's a little Cavalier Poodle. He's about, what, 17 pounds. What Sherm doesn't understand is, I like to chill. You know, I'm a really chill guy. My dog's real chill. He's pretty chill, you know, and he doesn't shed. That's my whole thing. You know, having the dog, I don't like having, you know, dog hair everywhere and everything, especially when you have people over, you know, they get all over their clothes and stuff like that. And my dog doesn't shed, which is a big thing. And also he's, you know, he's small enough to where, you know, I don't need to worry about some, you know, big piles of shit. So. Yeah,
my man, perfectly said. And I'm a huge Sherm guy, DeForest, but yeah. I don't know what he doesn't understand about that. You laid that out perfectly, perfectly. All right, so last thought, and thanks for sharing that. Now you're facing the Rams on Sunday. When you look at their offense, what is the biggest key to stopping them in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously the bread and butter over the past couple of years has been the run game. You know, with Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown's been playing at a high level, and obviously, Jared Goff, he benefits off of with a play action pass, and that's really where he's comfortable. And you know, we really just gotta attack the run game like we've been doing week in and week out, and we attack this run game, and really stop it early, and you know, don't let them gain any confidence and cause them to drop back. Then that's when our front seven and the back end can really get after it.
As mentioned, it was a breakthrough season last year where he had 12 sacks, a former Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year at Oregon. DeForest Buckner, my guest. My man, I appreciate you coming on early this morning. Great to have you on. DeForest, good luck this weekend.
Of course. Thank you for having me, Jim.
That was so good. Loved it. Really appreciate you. DeForest Buckner. All right, we'll take a short timeout. Niner fans, team looks fierce. They are fast. They are violent. They are explosive. They get to the quarterback. And they've got another big one coming up against the Rams Sunday. I'll take your thoughts, but before I do anything else, I will get you a sports update as I promised. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You want to call right now because I've got an interview at the top of the hour, and then I've got an interview after the interview. So you want to call right now, or are you going to be shut out for about an hour? Top of the hour, Brooks Koepka. First time in the jungle. Right after that, Jim Trotter. And Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question. I will read it later on. And remember, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. One really quick thought on DeForest Buckner. The thing about this guy is he's not just good. The guy's special. Not good, special. He's big, he's strong, he's quick, he's versatile, he's athletic. He cannot be blocked one-on-one. Like when you think about the interior dude who creates chaos and gets all that run, you always think Aaron Donald, and rightfully so. That's deserved. He's a freak of nature. but DeForest Buckner deserves love as well, and he's not getting it, not nearly as much as he deserves. The fact that this guy was not a top 100 player is a joke. Buckner is an animal. He's been a superstar in the making for a while now. If you were paying attention last year, you saw it, and then the entire world is really seeing it right now. If you're paying attention, I'm telling you, not good. Not good, but special. Not good, but really special. And that's why we put him on. I want to be that guy who's giving him some run, some hype. He earned it. Again, if you want to be on, you want to call right now, 1-800-636-8686. Now, going back to last night's game. Before that game last night, the Giants had ruled out Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, and Wayne Gallman. In other words, if you play offense for the Giants, there was a really good chance you were not playing last night. So doing that on a Thursday night in Foxborough with a rookie QB going up against Bill Belichick, you knew the G-men were in trouble. Serious trouble. And I don't know if you know this, but maybe you've heard about Bill Belichick's record against rookie quarterbacks. In Foxborough, it's pretty good. In fact, not good, special. This guy handles rookie quarterbacks the way he handles tough questions about questionable personnel moves. He completely shuts them down. Except last night, that's not what happened. Because while the Patriots did jump out to a 14-0 lead, before you know it, it's a 14-14 game on this TD from Daniel Jones to Golden Tate.
Out of the gun, Jones lofts a high pass to the right, juggled and caught. Golden Tate racing down the sideline. Tate will take it in. Touchdown, Giants. 64 yards on a catch and run by the veteran Golden Tate.
Westwood won and then chased that with a sack and a fumble by Tom Brady.
Second and 12, shotgun Brady faked the handoff. Brady has time. Now pocket collapses. Brady is hit and the ball is fumbled. Scooped up. Golden on the far side. Running to the 20, 15, 10, inside the 5, dives for the goal line, he's in, touchdown! What a play! Marcus Golden on a scoop and score!
So combine that with the Patriots' issues on offense, and then all of a sudden we've got ourselves a ball game. No, we didn't, because no matter how close that game was in the first half, there was no way the Giants were going to win that game. And sure enough, New England scored right before halftime to make it 21-14. Then they finish it off with a couple of TDs in the fourth quarter to make it 35-14, which is pretty much what everybody expected. So now you have the corresponding questions. What's the deal with the Patriots offense? What is Daniel Jones? And most importantly, what the hell is pass interference? Why don't we go in order? No, the Patriots offense is not clicking right now. There are injuries at wide receiver and along the offensive line, and they have not looked sharp since the Jets game, and Brady was off more than usual last night. Now, if you're going to use that as a reason to claim that they're no longer the team to beat in the AFC, man, that's on you. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I know these guys way too well to make that mistake. And it says here that guys will get healthy and they'll get it worked out because they always do. I've said it before. I'll say it again right now. And I will keep saying it until I can't speak anymore. The Patriots are done when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick say they're done. That's it. It doesn't matter how these guys are going in September or October. They'll be right there in December, January, and February. And by the way, they're fine. They're going pretty well. For all this talk about how they're not what they were, all this talk about how they're off to a slow start, they are 6-0. They do have the best record in the conference. They're probably going to be hosting the AFC Championship game again in January. All right, here's something else I know. Here's something else I know coming out of that game. I know that Daniel Jones is a rookie quarterback. That's not to crack him. That's not to bash him. It's a statement of fact. And I'm not going to go in on him after throwing three INTs last night. Or that if you took away that 64-yard TD pass to Tate, his stats on the night were 14 for 30 for 97 yards and three interceptions. Not exactly the stuff of legend. Not exactly the stuff of a Hall of Famer. Not exactly the kind of numbers that are going to get you into the Ring of Honor. You know, all those things that so many of you wanted to do for this guy after a couple of starts. I know the kind of defense he was going up against. I know the weapons he didn't have. But I also know that some of the throws that he made were really rough. Really rough. I also know he's got a bad habit of turning it over. 8 turnovers in 4 starts. Also not good. Again, I'm not here to crack this guy. I'm just saying now what I said after his first start. Slow the hell down. Relax. It was one game. He's a rookie. Like, we're on this weird, kind of bizarre yo-yo with Jones, where one side demands an apology after a good start, then the other side demands an apology for the apology after a bad start. I mean, why don't we just settle the hell down? Let's just stop. Everybody pumped the brakes. And I'll tell you exactly what we know about this guy. Let me tell you exactly what we know about Jones. He's a rookie. And that he might not be as bad as everybody thought that he was coming out of college. And he might not be as great as all of you are making him out to be after one win. In other words, he's probably not going to go down as the worst draft pick ever. And you can go ahead and stop cutting that mustard blazer for him right now. That's what I know about this guy. And there's one more thing I know about last night, from last night. There is an apology necessary for this. The pass interference rule sucks. I mean, we already knew that, right? In fact, I've been saying that since they announced that they were going to allow challenges. That it would be an absolute mess. And it has been, but it's so much worse than I expected. Let's go to the fourth quarter. Last night's game. Golden Tate running a route. Jonathan Jones grabs him not once, but twice in the route, and it was not called.
Jones sets up. He throws it downfield, and it is incomplete.
I think that's pass interference. Look at the replay. Jonathan Jones' right arm is just wrapped around Golden Tate. Now, here's the problem, Ian. They're not overturning these calls.
The percentage is very low.
Very low.
39 pass interference calls have been reviewed this season. 7 have been reversed, so that's 18%. Well, Pat Shurmur has a wry smile on his face.
Going on the field stands. There is no defensive pass interference.
And he didn't win
it. New York has charged their third and final charge timeout and loses the challenge.
I mean, it's awful.
Westwood won. It is awful. I mean, on the one hand, you think no problem. That's why there is a challenge system. Giants head coach Pat Shurmur throws a flag. It's challenged. New York reviews it. It's so obvious and clear. There will be, wait, no penalty? They got it wrong once, and then they doubled down on it, and they got it wrong again. And the bigger question is why. Even in real time, you could tell that was a penalty. But cut the old dudes on the field some slack. Sometimes they're out of position. Sometimes they can't get to the right spot to see it. This is why you have the review. Where they can look at it from every single angle in slow motion and then get it right. But they still get it wrong. And if you're getting that one wrong, you must be doing it intentionally. I'm not saying that they're looking to jam the Giants on that play. I'm not saying they've got a vendetta against Pat Shurmur. I'm saying they sure as hell do not want to make the right call in that spot. And either that's because the review crew does not want to hurt the feelings of the refs or for some other reason, but it's insane. I mean, really, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. How do you not fix that? The thinking had been that they were only going to change the result of egregious calls. That was an egregious non-call, and they still didn't change the result. So what's the point of reviewing it if you're not going to correct it when you review it? No wonder head coaches are either raging or despondent when it comes to these calls. This was all brought about because of one of the worst non-calls in the history of sports, Rams Saints. Maybe you've heard of it. This was supposed to correct that, only it's made it worse. Review was supposed to correct the Rams-Saints blunder, but based on what I've seen so far, I'm not sure these clowns would have flagged that even on review. And the only thing worse than getting a call wrong once is getting a call wrong once and then looking at it in slow motion and then getting it wrong again. And they're doing this time and time again. So in conclusion, the Patriots are who they've always been. Daniel Jones is who we thought he was, and the pass interference situation is going the way we thought that it would, horribly. The only thing worse than getting it wrong once is seeing the review and getting it wrong again. When we come back, we are scheduled to speak with Brooks Koepka. Stay tuned. Hour number two, straight ahead.